Lesson 4. Outcomes. Differentiate among hazardous materials incident levels. Explain the three modes of operation at hazardous materials incidents. Figure 25.17. A small gasoline spill is a level 1 incident. Courtesy of Rich Mahaney. Incident levels. After the initial size-up has determined the scope of an incident, the level of the incident can be determined in accordance with the definitions in the Local Emergency Response Plan, LERP. Most incident level models define three levels of response graduating from level 1, least serious, to level 3, most serious. By defining the levels of response, an increasing level of involvement and necessary resources can be identified based on the severity of the incident. These levels are described as follows. Level 1, within the capabilities of the fire or emergency services organization or other first responders having jurisdiction. A level 1 incident is the least serious and the easiest to handle. It may pose a serious threat to life or property, although this situation is not usually the case. Evacuation, if required, is limited to the immediate area of the incident. The following are examples of level 1 incidents. Small amount of gasoline or diesel fuel spilled from an automobile, figure 25.17. Leak from domestic natural gas line on the consumer side of the meter. Broken containers of consumer commodities such as paint, thinners, bleach, swimming pool chemicals, and fertilizers, owner or proprietor is responsible for cleanup and disposal. Level 2, beyond the capabilities of the first responders on the scene and may be beyond the capabilities of the first response agency/organization having jurisdiction. Level 2 incidents may require the services of a formal hazmat response team. A properly trained and equipped response team could be expected to perform the following tasks. Use chemical protective clothing, figure 25.18. Dike and confine within the contaminated areas. Perform plugging, patching, and basic leak control activities. Sample and test unknown substances, figure 25.19. Perform various levels of decontamination. The following are examples of level 2 incidents. Spill or leak requiring limited scale evacuation. Any major accident, spillage, or overflow of flammable liquids. Spill or leak of unfamiliar or unknown chemicals. Accident involving extremely hazardous substances. Rupture of an underground pipeline. Fire that is posing a boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion, BLEEV, threat in a storage tank. Level 3, requires resources from state/provincial agencies, federal agencies, and or private industry and also requires unified command. A level 3 incident is the most serious of all hazardous material incidents. A large-scale evacuation may be required. Most likely, the incident will not be concluded by any one agency. Figure 25.20. Successful handling of the incident requires a collective effort from several of the following resources/procedures. Specialists from industry and governmental agencies. Sophisticated sampling and monitoring equipment. Specialized leak and spill control techniques. Decontamination on a large scale. The following are examples of level 3 incidents. An evacuation extending across jurisdictional boundaries. Beyond the capabilities of the local hazardous material response team. Activate, in part or in whole, the federal response plan. Operational strategies. Hazmat incident strategies are divided into three options that relate to modes of operation. Non-intervention, allows the incident to run its course on its own. Defensive, provides confinement of the hazard to a given area by performing diking, damming, or diverting actions. Offensive, includes actions, such as plugging a leak, to control the incident, figure 25.21. Selection of the strategic mode is based on the risk to responders, their level of training, and the balance between the resources required and those that are available. When selecting a mode of operation, the safety of first responders is the utmost consideration. The mode of operation may change during the course of an incident. Incident priorities will help determine which mode is used at the incident. The IC may decide to use different modes simultaneously at the same incident based on incident dynamics. Non-intervention. Non-intervention operations are operations in which the responders do not take direct actions on the actual problem. Not taking any action is the only safe strategy in many types of incidents and the best strategy in certain types of incidents when mitigation is failing or otherwise impossible. An example of a situation for non-intervention is a pressure vessel that cannot be adequately cooled because it is exposed to fire. In such incidents, responders should evacuate personnel in the area and withdraw to a safe distance. The non-intervention mode is selected when one or more of the following circumstances exist. The facility or local emergency response plan, LERP, calls for it based on a pre-incident evaluation of the hazards present at the site. The situation is clearly beyond the capabilities of responders, figure 25.22. Explosions are imminent. Serious container damage threatens a massive release. In such non-intervention situations, first responders should take the following actions. Withdraw to a safe distance. Report scene conditions to the telecommunications center. Initiate an incident management system. Call for additional resources as needed. Isolate the hazard area and deny entry. Begin evacuation where needed. Defensive. Defensive operations are those in which responders seek to confine the emergency to a given area without directly contacting the hazardous materials involved. The defensive mode is selected when one of the following two circumstances exists. The facility or LERP calls for it based on a pre-incident evaluation of the hazards present at the site. Responders have the training and equipment necessary to confine the incident to the area of origin. In defensive operations, operations-level first responders should take the following actions. Report scene conditions to the telecommunications center. Initiate an incident management system. Call for additional resources as needed. Isolate the hazard area and deny entry. Establish and indicate zone boundaries. Begin evacuation where needed. Control ignition sources. Use appropriate defensive control tactics, figure 25.23. Protect exposures. Perform rescues when safe and appropriate. Evaluate and report incident progress. Perform emergency decontamination procedures. Offensive. Offensive operations are those where responders take aggressive, direct action on the material, container, or process equipment involved in the incident, figure 25.24. These operations may result in contact with the material and therefore require responders to wear appropriate chemical protective clothing and respiratory protection. Some offensive operations are beyond the scope of responsibilities for first responders and are conducted by more highly trained hazardous materials personnel.